Blog Talk Radio.
With me tonight, really, really special. I'm so happy to say I'm excited. First, let me just say Tanyelle couldn't be with us tonight, and but we have somebody pinch hitting for her. Tell us your name.
Hello, everyone. This is Derek Bridges.
It's Mr. Bridges, everybody. It's Mr. Bridges, finally. How many times have you heard me say his name on the air? And finally, he's on with us. I'm so happy. Thank you, baby.
My pleasure.
Tell everybody what we're talking about tonight.
He say, she say.
Yeah, yeah. Marriages. We're basically talking about marriages tonight and different things that come up. But before we get into the whole subject matter of tonight, I just want to say, you know, I really am thankful that you're doing this with me. I appreciate it so much. You're not only helping me, but I think this is just going to be fun for us. You should see him rolling his eyes, y'all. I am. I'm glad that you're doing this with me, baby. But I want to say one of the reasons, I want to tell everybody why I call you Mr. Bridges, because I never call you by your first name. You know that?
Yes, I thought it was because your son named
That's
it Derek.
Exactly why. It's exactly why. It was just awkward for me. Like when we were first seeing each other and, you know, Derek come out of my mouth to somebody other than Derek Christopher was a little weird. So Mr. Bridges just kind of works.
Okay.
Not to mention that. Your name is Derek. My son's name is Derek. Your son's name is Derek. My son's son's name is Derek. So I have to try to keep up with all these Dereks.
Yes, understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of funny.
So this is Mr. Bridges. And, baby, look, we have the caller already on the switchboard. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. You want to say something, or are you waiting for me?
Well, I just want to say that I'm honored to be on the show, and I'm your biggest fan, you have my support. I think you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm just looking for greater things to happen from this, and just hopefully it'll just grow and keep growing.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You are. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about some of the things that we chat about just personally, because sometimes when you're out and about, maybe with a fishing buddy or something, things come up with you and things come up in different conversations that I'm involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, all the stuff that I read to you that I find like on the internet, little articles and things about marriage and different situations, So we just decided that we're going to talk about this out loud tonight. So you want to just jump on in here? We're going to ask some of the questions that we've encountered.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them we, you know, I wrote some down on the paper, but some might just come. We might just find ourselves walking into some that aren't on the paper. And by all means, everybody listening in, if you have something to add, please go ahead and call us. The number is 347-637-3604. If you want to chat with us, press the number 1 after you dial that number. We would love to hear from you and hear your thoughts tonight. So I'm going to jump in here with the first question to kind of get us rolling. Babe, here we go. Why does my wife always want to talk? Why does my wife always want me to talk to her when I'm tired and I just want to relax? Why won't she leave me alone?
Well, I don't think that's, you know, your personality. I mean, but you're talking about women in general, wives?
No, women and wives in general. And if we have to use ourselves as examples for something, we can do that to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that communication is very important in a marriage relationship. I think women need that. I think that they want to talk about their day, what they went through, just different things, everyday life. So I think that that's a very important part of a marriage, and that speaking from a husband's point of view, that we need to just take time out just to communicate and just also just be a good listener, you know. So that's what I think.
That's what you think?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, but I also have to realize that we do, speak different languages. Men really are from Mars. Women really are from Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, I have to be aware, like, when you're zoning out on me, because sometimes you just start tapping out, and I have to realize, okay, he's had enough, and I have to back off, you know. But I do appreciate you trying to listen to me, and I know when you're making the effort.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Well, I guess sometimes, you know, work, you know, has us physically tired and mentally drained. So I don't think we intentionally, you know, just try to zone you guys out. I guess it's just a man thing.
Well, maybe it's timing sometimes too.
Timing, I guess on the weekend, you know, when you may be off, it's probably better. Or, you know, after dinner.
So when you come in the door, I shouldn't just, you know, start running off with everything that's on my mind and say, give you a minute to catch your breath.
Yeah, I think that's wise. You know, just to take your shoes off and get maybe a glass of water, soda, whatever. And then I think, you know, you can sit down and talk, you know, about your day.
As long as the basketball game is on, right? Right, as long as it's not playoff times, right?
Well, we can talk.
Then it's a whole different.
We can talk at halftime.
And, hey, for me, as long as it's not 6 o'clock Monday through Friday, because what happens at 6 o'clock Monday through Friday?
Jeopardy.
Yeah, I have a date with Alex Trebek.
Okay. All right. So that's my time to take my shoes off, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. You're going to take a break from 6 to 6:30 and then get ready to hear from me.
I remember that.
Uh-huh. Now, the second question. You might have to dig for this one, babe. Okay, spouses' annoying habits are really getting on my nerves. Now, you might have to dig a little because I know I don't have any annoying habits that you can just come up with right off the top of your head, right, that you can talk about.
Annoying habits? I got to think about that one.
I can think of one that you have for me above all else. What? Think about it.
Me?
Not that I do this on purpose, but you seem to think I do sometimes.
What's that?
It has to do with the car.
Oh, not putting gas in the car?
Yeah.
Well, that's I can live with that. I don't think that's annoying.
That's okay. That's not.
Yeah, I can live with that. You know, I don't mind putting gas in your car.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I really can't. I have to really give it some thought about annoying habits. You have some habits, but I don't think they, you know, drive me up the wall.
Well, let me read this question the way it was posed. This isn't from us, but is it possible to change a mate? When we got engaged, I thought my spouse could do no wrong. Now that we're married, I've become aware that the person of my dreams actually has some annoying habits. How do I deal with this situation? So coming from that perspective, give this person a little bit of advice, baby.
Well, I think you need to talk about it, you know, calmly, you know. And I think the way you say it, you know, in a calm way, and I think you can work it out, you know. That's probably the best way to go at that. Just talk it out and just give it some time to work it out, you know.
Yeah, depending on what the thing is, mm-hmm. I would almost want to question the motive. Why do you want it to change? What is so annoying about it, first of all? Mm-hmm. Is it a matter of the one spouse just wanting their way or wanting to control it? Or is it a legitimate, you know, is it a legitimate complaint like this? Really? Now, I can give you a legitimate complaint. you want to hear from me? To
yes.
give you an example?
Yes.
Okay. The little skinny glasses that you use to drink orange juice out of, you know that annoys me, right? Not that you drink the orange juice. It's what you do after you drink the orange juice, which is what?
Don't rinse it out.
You don't rinse it out. And then who washes dishes? Most of the time.
What?
And I can't get my hand in there. And I don't prefer to use a dishwasher. I like hand wash.
I've been working on that. So.
You've been working on
that?
Yeah,
so I don't think that.
It's annoying, baby.
Huh?
Yes, it is. Just to let you know, it is.
Well, I don't think every woman thinks it's annoying. So
That's just one of my things, babe.
Okay. I can work on it. Yeah, saying it live.
That's right. Everybody heard that. He's gonna work on that.
Yeah.
Because how long have I been saying?
We're helping somebody.
You're helping somebody.
Yeah. We talked about it.
Now we've been married a year and
5 months.
5 months.
Yeah.
Almost to the day, 5 months. You and I have both been married before.
Yeah.
And now we're in this marriage, and we'll never be married to anybody else again, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm saying that to say a year and 5 months, almost a year and a half married, people might wonder, what do y'all have to tell anybody? We have some experience that we bring to the table, right, baby? Mm-hmm. I think we have something to talk about and something to share. So, being in a marriage that I'm going to just say was not a good one, and now being in a good one, I know the difference. And I know what I want from this marriage. So that's what I'm going to work toward. So even those little annoying behaviors, you know,
mm-hmm.
not everything is worth bringing up.
That's right.
And maybe speaking for you, I don't know, but I don't choose to bring up everything because it's just not worth it. And I know that I have my own quirks. I'm joking, saying you have to dig a little to find something, but I know I have my quirks. And look at me like, right?
Yes, well, I mean, I think love has a lot to do with that. I mean, when you love that person, some things you just don't worry about. You brush
right.
it off quickly.
Right.
And you just move on, you know. So that's how I look at it.
And that's what you were telling me yesterday when we were talking about doing the show and the things that we would talk about. You came to the conclusion that it all came down to love.
That's right.
And how you're willing to serve that other person and put them first in their needs and just take care of them and trust that you're going to be taken care of in the process. Not even so much have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it all comes down to love.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the third one. You ready?
Yes.
Why don't you read that?
When I tried to help clean up around the house, my wife complained. So why should I bother? Well, I don't think that applies to me, does it?
No. These don't necessarily have to apply to us, but these are questions that I've heard.
Yeah.
And that you've heard. So that's why they're on the list.
Okay.
Because somebody's facing it. Somebody's going through it. So, but at the same, time, I'm not going to beat up on you tonight, babe, but, you know, what do you think about that? Here this guy is. He's trying to help out. And let me start there. Remember, were we married yet, or was it before we got married? And we were talking about gender roles, right? And you were saying, oh, you know, a man can help the wife clean up. And I'm like, what do you mean help her clean up? If you see something that needs to be done, just do it. What's with this? You're helping her do it. Just do it.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. That applies to your car also.
You're doing so much better than me. You do the car better than me, right?
Well, you can just do it when it gets dirty.
My car stays pretty clean.
Okay.
Never have to really worry about keeping it clean too much. That is the biggest joke. But once again, we were talking about gender roles, and for you and me, I know our roles are mostly traditional. You know, what's been tradition in America or probably the world over. I'm not the best in the kitchen, and you know that, and you knew that before we met and we married, but you seem to be okay with that. I try.
I don't think you've done a great job at that.
Uh-huh.
And you work, so I don't mind helping with the cooking, you know, so
mm-hmm.
That's understandable.
Yeah, and since you actually cook better than me, mm-hmm. And
thank you.
And probably more often than me, huh?
Well, I think it's about the same.
It's about the same at this point?
Yeah.
At this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, not that we, either one of us, do a whole lot of cooking, right?
Yeah, because we work hard. You know?
But as far as the efforts, because, again, looking at those gender roles, when it's the wife's primary responsibility to keep that house up, and then the hubby thinks he's helping and he's really not doing it up to her standards. What do you think about that? How should that be handled?
I think he needs to try harder.
You think he needs to try harder?
Yeah, she's complaining he's not doing a good job, so mm-hmm. I think he needs to try a little harder.
Well, I was reading an article that said, I mean, people were just going off and saying, you know what, at least he's doing something and he's trying and, you know, most men wouldn't and whatever else. But I think you're on it, baby. If I came out to help you in your work, you would want me to do it up to your standard, right?
Correct.
So the same would go for inside the house or whoever role that is primarily to take care of the house. Now, that doesn't mean I need to be nitpicking about everything you do.
Right.
Which, let's be honest, baby, since we got married, I think you've forgotten how to make beds, wash dishes, and wash clothes, right? You don't even remember how to do those things anymore, do you?
I can
still do them. You still do them? Oh, you're going to have to show me one day.
Okay.
You sure about that? I don't mind, babe. It's my pleasure. You work hard. I can make the bed, all right? All right. This is somewhere where I have to try to find balance in myself because I know that I am, my mouth is fast. You know that now. Now you know that, right? So sometimes I speak before I think, and I have to try to, you know, just harness that tongue. So one day, I don't know if you remember this, but you emptied the waste basket in our bathroom in the bedroom, and you decided you had to tell me. I took the trash bag out, emptied the waste basket, and I said, okay, so what do you want, a round of applause? You know, you have to make an announcement. What? I am the way in the bathroom all the time. So what about it? What do you want from me? Do you remember that day? I'm sorry if I didn't apologize. I'm sorry because God sure did talk to me about it later. I must say. So in those moments, I know that we as women, what you just said a little while ago is how you say it. Also, just to acknowledge that you tried and that you did something and just say thank you. Thank you.
Well, I didn't worry about what you said.
You never do.
I love you.
You never do.
Just let that go.
I know. I love your nature, your personality, because it's just so easygoing. So you let me be moody when I'm moody, and then you just laugh at me most of the time. Thank God, huh? Thank God that we have that going on. Not too moody people. So let's take a break right now. What do you think, babe? Let's take a break and we can get back to some questions?
Yeah.
Okay. We will do that. We will be back on the other side of this break and continue talking about the said she said.
Yeah. It's for the way you look at me. Oh, it's for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and
break. This is Ministry Along the Way Radio. My name is Demetria, and I'm co-hosting with my husband tonight, Mr. Bridges. Say hello again.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back. The title of our show tonight is He Said, She Said. We are just fielding some questions that we've encountered just as we've been living life, just conversations we've gotten involved in with other people, different things we've read, different articles. So we're just fielding some of those questions and giving you our perspective on them. So far, we've talked about wives who like to talk, husbands who have to indulge them. It is a good thing, right, baby?
It
is. Stir up the communication.
Mm-hmm.
Makes for a really good marriage when you let your wife talk. Don't you think?
Yes. Like I said before, communication is great in a marriage.
If she wants to hear from you too, so you gotta talk back. She really wants to know what you're thinking. I'm telling you, like, really, what'd you think about that? How'd you feel about that? All of that. We want to know all of that. Did you know that, babe?
I know
all of that. Let's move on to that fourth question.
Okay.
What can I do about my workaholic? What's the best way to address this with him? He spends very little time with me. When I approach him, he says, things will be better. Any suggestions, baby?
Well, I mean, I think the mindset of a workaholic is that he wants to be a great provider. I think that he wants to meet all of the family needs and some of his wife wants. So I don't think that's all a bad thing, but I think that he can take one day out of a week, you know, like we do and call it date night, to make sure that he spends time with his wife. So I would recommend that, you know, if he's working two jobs, just take some time out for him and his wife or the kids at least once a week. And
so, ladies, did you hear that? It's not so much that he doesn't want to spend time with you. And maybe talking it out might help reveal that. But it's just that man is doing his best to provide. He's trying to be responsible.
That's correct. Yep. He wants to be
so correct. How would I need to approach you if I needed to bring that up? Are you working too hard? You're not spending time with me?
Well, you can always take some
dinner. You did when we were dating. Now look at you. I can always do what?
Take some bills off the man. One solution.
That's one solution. I suppose that's something to think about. Uh-huh.
Stop spending so much money, you know. Stop shopping so much.
And that's not free up your time.
Yeah, well, he can work less. Save money.
What's good about you is sometimes, remember when we were dating and I wasn't much of a texter back then, and I would say, text you back and say, call me. But I love those text messages now. I appreciate them because sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time to talk during the day, but just something to let that other person know you were thinking about them. So here's where I'm going with that. Every now and then when I feel like we've been kind of two ships passing in the night, we've just not been connecting, been missing each other, I'll send you a text and say, I miss you. Mm-hmm. And more than likely you'll respond to me and say something like, you know what, I'm going to make some time. I don't know if you even thought about that. Is mm-hmm. that what's going through your head when you get one of those text messages from me?
I think that's good because it makes me stop and say, you know what, I'm caught up in work too much. I need to, you know, focus on you just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing my everyday, you know, work schedule. You know, I get caught up and sometimes with just time goes by, I don't even, you know, text to say hi. So I think that's good when you can just say, you know what, just call and say I love you. You know,
it is good. You know, it is. I've really come to appreciate those, and I think you've kept a number of them from when we were dating.
I did, yeah.
So texting isn't a bad thing. I used to just really dislike it, and now, at least from you anyway, I'm like, send me another text. And when I don't get it, it's like, you don't talk to me. I haven't heard from you. You used to call to see if I made it to work.
I got you now, so.
And I am not going anywhere. Just to let you know, here's another one, babe, another question. Because some people have found themselves in a situation, a marital situation, where they are questioning now whether they made a mistake in marriage or wrong person. I'm kind of combine three questions into one here. So did I make a mistake, a big mistake, to marry the wrong person? Is it normal to wish I wasn't married to my spouse? I guess we still love each other, but we're kind of worn down, kind of disappointed. And here's another one. What advice do you have for an unequally yoked marriage? I kind of threw them all in the pot together. Just kind of jump in there. Did I marry the wrong person? I heard somebody say one time, Go check your marriage license. That's how you'll know whether you're married to the wrong person or not, whose name is on there. So that kind of answers that question right there, huh?
Yeah. That's, I mean, I think that's something that they need to talk about. You got to be careful to say, I married the wrong person. I think that's a strong statement.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would, you know, think about that before I say it. At least try to work it out before I go to that point and say, you know what, I think I married the wrong person.
Again, you have to question why you're saying that, why you've gotten to that point. And you can indeed be unequally yoked, which means what to you, babe? Being unequally yoked.
Well, I don't know. I think that, again, I think you ought to be able to talk about that and find out what the problem is. And I think that the key word here is love.
Yeah, once again.
Yeah, I mean, if you love that person, then you'll be able to work through some of these problems, even if you have to go through counseling.
Don't be afraid to seek outside help if you you can't come to some resolution on your own.
Yeah. So
I agree with that.
Yeah, so, you know, to say, we're talking about combining these questions and to say that you married the wrong person and you're unequal to yoke, I think that you need to really say, to ask yourself, do you love this person?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you love this person, truly love them, I think that you can work through some of these problems,
yeah.
You know, through prayer or counseling or, you know.
And you said something very important when you said prayer. We are taking the position that our marriage is based on the marriage the way we see that God wants it to be. So we're serious about that. We're not just married people. We want to be married God's way. And so we seek after that, and we do things to fulfill that. So we're just not randomly married people, not in my opinion. I think we're married with purpose. And so because I'm able to say that, that means I'm going to do some things on purpose to have that better outcome and not just wait for you to do it all. I have an obligation, too. I have a responsibility. And I think when it comes to being equally yoked or unequally yoked, I think we're talking about having the same set of values. And you may find after you've married somebody that, wow, we don't have the same values after all. And that's a shocking and disappointing place to find yourself in. Mm-hmm. But even finding yourself there, mm-hmm. I would say there's still hope.
Yeah, I think there's hope. I think that during the courtship that you should have recognized a lot of this, you know, before you said I do. You know,
true enough.
You should have, I mean, especially if you have a little age on them and you've been married before, I think that you ought to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to take my time through this courtship to see what this person is about before I say I do. And I think that you won't have to ask yourself these questions after you get married.
Right. And that's ideal. But some of us have come into this where we were both, and again, we're coming from a Christian perspective and a biblical perspective. But what about those who weren't Christians when they got married, either one of them? And now they find themselves, one of them stayed now, and the other one isn't. I mean, that's not a comfortable place to be in.
Yeah, well, I think the saved person has to take a little time and just, you know, through prayer and just take some time and just, you know, talk to their mate and try to get that person saved. You know, and to try to just to get where they are to make their marriage work. So I don't think you should give up on it. I think you ought to work on it.
Right.
You know,
because that's another question that we have talked about that we have come across. My husband's not saved, but I'm equally yoked. Should I submit to him? He's not saved. Should I still be submitted to him? And the answer to that is yes.
I think yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think. I think submission is important. I think he
Uh-oh, that's a bad word for some people. Did you know that? I just said a bad word in some circles. A wife needs to submit to her husband? Oh.
Well, I think that when you think about submission, some women think, you know, oh, I have to obey him. And no, I don't think it's about obeying. I think it's about letting the man take the leadership role. And I think that's very important. And he's going to make some mistakes. He's not going to be perfect. But I think that if you let him submit, I think in the long run, he's going to try really hard to be, to make wise decisions, to be that man that you want him to be. And then if he's wrong, then maybe you can, you know, talk to him about it. And I'm sure, you know, that, you know, he'll correct himself. And that's just part about marriage and communication.
Right.
You know?
And again, we have to be mindful of the way we communicate, you know. When it is time to talk to them, that we're not just picking, nitpicking and slamming, look at what you did, and not all the good things, but because we all make mistakes.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. I think in the long run that I let my husband take the leadership role, you know, I'm glad I tried to do it God's way.
Right.
It worked out. And we did have a few problems, but for the most part, it was good.
Mm-hmm. So how important is the spiritual aspect in marriage?
I think it's very important.
Do you think having a strong faith might give you an advantage over somebody who is not seeking God? Like, we've included God in our marriage. He allowed us to include ourselves. It is his show. It's his show from beginning to end, and our eyes have just been enlightened, and we want to be a part of what he's doing. So what about for those people who aren't? You think we have an advantage?
I think we do. I mean, I think we're trying to live according to God's word and his promises, and I think that we do have an advantage to those that are unsaved or not spiritual background. So, I mean, I can go to God, you know, when I'm just don't know what to do and I have problems and I'm trying to figure out, you know, as a husband to make decisions, I can go to him and get that help that I need. And, you know, and I think it'll work out.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think I have an advantage.
Yeah. We have great faith and confidence that he's not gonna fail us.
Yeah,
but he is who he says he is.
I can lean on him. I can trust him for his word,
mm-hmm.
and I'm confident that he's gonna come through for me. Yeah.
And that he wants what's best for us. I do believe that there is a thing as such as God's best. I know in my previous marriage, it wasn't God's best. I believe I'm experiencing God's best as far as our marriage is concerned with you.
Thank you.
Couldn't ask for anything more.
I try hard.
So here's one. We're talking about the spiritual aspect. My spouse and I have different tastes when it comes to worship styles in church. How do we resolve our disagreement? And this is something that you and I can speak to, right, babe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to read just a little bit more. I'm attracted to a more upbeat expression of praise, but my spouse is a traditionalist, okay? if that gives you some idea where we're going with this. So how do we get beyond this difference in taste? What do we do, babe?
Well, I know that we go to two different churches. I think that I don't mind visiting your church and you don't mind visiting mine. So I think that we keep doing that and we just go into prayer and ask God to lead us to where he wants us to be. And it may take some time, but in the meantime, we still enjoying the word of God in two places.
And not just in the church, it's a lifestyle.
You got to live it.
so we don't just worship in that building.
That's right. The work is on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. Yeah, so I think that, I mean, I know some older couples that they do that and go to two different churches.
But once upon a time, you weren't in agreement with that.
I wasn't.
Why not?
I just felt like that the wife should follow the husband in that. But I look at it a little bit differently now. So
there's no hard, fast rule about that.
No. I think that if you married and she's at another church than you are, I think that you just need to pray and ask God to lead you, and I think he will.
I do think it's important for spouses to receive the same word at the same time and share, have that common experience with each other. I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know where we are right now. We're not rushing it. We're treading softly and just not making it a burden, not being oppressed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And God is doing some amazing things, I believe, in our lives. The revelation that he's given, and we come together and talk, and not just talk, but then we seek ways to go out and do and act on that revelation that he's given us.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, I think we're good. We're good. As we can see, speaking in space about it.
I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be for anyone.
Yeah, I agree with that. We do have a few callers on the switchboard, and I just want you to know, if you want to call in and talk with us, go ahead and press the number 1. If you're listening over the computer, I know sometimes there are glitches. You can always dial in and listen over your telephone. So just to throw that out there, in case, you know, you're having some kind of a glitch on your computer, you can dial in and listen in on your telephone. And that phone number is 347-637-3604. Just to let you know, once again, we are discussing He Said, She Said tonight, tossing out some questions that we've encountered over the course of our marriage, and just giving our own perspectives on it. So let's go with another one, Dave. We're talking about the whole submission thing. Is it ever okay not to submit to your husband?
Well, I think if it's life-threatening thing. Maybe, you know, it's going to harm the children. I think that,
she can take a stand.
Right. I think she can. But you know, I think that some areas you ought to, be able to just think about it. If it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of dangerous not to submit, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a great responsibility, I think, being a man and just having that role of being the responsible one, if you take it seriously, and I know you do, you take your role as a husband to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not hard for me to submit to you. I have no problem with it. But at the same time, you submit to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just this this thing, I'll just do what you say. It's not like that at all. Believe me, I just think it means that I'm not trying to compete with you. No, I'm not trying to just come against everything you say, just have conflict with you. When I think about submission, that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and then I value your opinion, because some things I need help with when making decisions. And I think that every man, wants that, he doesn't want to think he knows everything. Oh, he's always right. So I value your opinion, and I think it helps me to make good decisions, when I'm undecided.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to another one. Handling marital conflict, babe. Are arguments and disagreements a sign of a bad marriage? What do you think?
No, I don't think it's a sign of a bad marriage.
I mean, it's going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah. You're going to have some disagreements. But like we were saying earlier, it's communication, I think, mm-hmm. is the key. And then knowing how to talk to your spouse. So, and like we said earlier, love is the key.
So what about, things are going to come up from time to time, but what about if it's just the norm? This is constant conflict.
And I think you need some help. I think you need to talk to Dr. Phil. Yeah.
Because that shouldn't be, right?
No, it shouldn't be. I mean, you know, our home is peaceful, and I can appreciate that. But I don't want to come home and argue every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know, and when I disagree, I don't want to let it get so far out of hand. I want to kind of just nip it in the bud.
And to actually have the conversation and not put it off and not face it, but to be proactive and say, you know what, trying to avoid the conflict all the time is not a good thing either, in my opinion. You have to, you know, come to terms. And
I think that, you know, if it's going to get out of hand, I think that you need to just cool off. You know, and then, you know, maybe for, you know, half an hour, hour, think about it, and then talk about it again after you cool off.
I see we have another caller who's joined the switchboard, and I'm just going to repeat, if you'd like to talk with us, press the number one, and we'll add you to the conversation. Conflict, babe, like that, dude. Sounds like you might need some help. This is going on all the time. Time to call in Dr. Phil to reinforce this and that. But for people who are really wanting their marriage and wanting to have that peace in the marriage that you just talked about, you might have to bite the bullet. Let the pride go and say, I really want my marriage, and it's worth me talking to somebody about. Now, here's a question for you. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
You ready? How can I vent to my spouse without him trying to fix me? Is there a way to stop my spouse from trying to fix my problems and actually start listening to me?
That's a simple answer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it now?
You just tell them you need to vent and don't say anything.
What? What?
Just listen. Just listen to me. And I think that...
We do this. Sometimes I'm talking to you and you got that solution and you come up. And I'm a fixer, too. I like to find solutions to things. But sometimes I just want you to just be on my side. And just, you know, I think lately... At least the last 2 weeks. That's not my question, by the way, but I can relate to that. Because I said that to you. I was like, I didn't ask you to fix anything. I got this. I can do this. I just wanted you to hear me.
Maybe I was trying to rush to watch some basketball.
Probably. Probably. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, tell me again what your solution there.
Oh, I think that you just should tell your mate that you just need him to listen to you. And I just, you know, I think that's easy. You know, you just vent. And if he's going to say anything, you just need to say, well, let me know when you finish. Yeah.
So I want to hear a little bit from you, but, you know. Don't have to solve it outright. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe he can pass an opinion the next day.
Yeah, maybe. After we sleep on it, huh?
Yeah.
Now we're talking about venting. What about this one? Venting about your marriage on social media. Some of these questions, you're probably thinking, these can't be real questions, you know? They are. People get on social media and talk about their problems. But to get on there and talk about something that's going on in your marriage, what do you think about that, baby?
I think that needs to stay in the home. I don't think that needs to be shared with social media at all. You know, and if it has to go to where you need someone else to talk to, a professional or
a friend,
close friend, you know, or a counselor, you know, or spiritual counselor. And I think that's very personal and shouldn't be shared on social media at all.
So that's a big no-no.
Because you could say something that
mm-hmm.
could really damage your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wouldn't do that. You know, wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I think it is a good idea. Hopefully we are connected with people that we can trust. At least hopefully one or two confidants that we can bounce some things off of. I know I have one of my coworkers. We kind of help each other. If we get ready to send a text, like I might have shared something. I do, Miss West, if you're listening. But we talk about our husbands. You know that? We talk about y'all?
Yeah.
You do, though, don't you? We talk about y'all. And if I'm getting ready to respond, hey, Shannon, can you read this text, please, before I press send? So we do that for each other, and that's a good thing. Okay, I see that we have a caller who wants to be let on to talk with us. And caller, tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
My name is Ashley, and I'm calling from LaPlace.
And tell everybody who you are, Ash. This is my daughter.
I am your daughter.
She's my daughter, the brilliant, the outspoken, Ashley.
You guys were talking about marriage and social media, and I think social media is for certain people with certain topics. And at the time that you get married, I think you should have reached a level of maturity to know that that's not where your business should be.
You would think, wouldn't you? You would think.
Yes. And at the day and age that you do feel like you need to post on social media, that's the day that you should probably realize that you probably rushed into your marriage a little bit too soon because you had a lot of growing up to do before you got to that point. If you feel like you still need to post on social media about your relationship or your marriage, then you have a lot of maturing left to do.
Wow, you just said a mouthful, Ashley. I totally agree with that. But unfortunately, some people haven't gotten there yet. I hope some people are listening to the show and hearing this because it's just not a good idea at all.
It's like telling your mom or your brother about every fight that you get into. It's going to just be a problem. There's no way anybody on Facebook is going to help you fix your marriage,
right?
Especially if it's not someone who, if you already have their phone number, to call them personally and ask for specific advice from that specific person, then there's nothing that anybody on social media is going to be able to give to you to fix your marriage. All it's going to do is cause problems with the person that you're with.
So why do you think people do it?
I think that in this day and age, people have gotten so used to instant attention or not even trying to work through the problem or even looking for someone to tell them that they're right in a situation. So they they lose a concept of something sacred. And a marriage is sacred. It is between you and that other person. So involving other people only causes problems.
Yeah, I think
people are looking for that instant attention.
Right. Right. I think that's the bottom line. And you, of course, you're going to portray yourself to be the one
the champion.
In the positive light.
So you
want all the little pats on the back for yourself. So once again, if you're looking to strengthen your marriage and you need to vent, venting on social media is a big no-no, big time.
And in fact, if you're about to go into a serious relationship, take a drop off of social media for a while. I think it will probably help you get to know the person that you're with a whole lot better. I mean, we check our phones for constant attention, a quick tweet, a quick Instagram, a quick Facebook update, and we're just drawn away from who or what is in front of us. So I think you're going into a serious relationship, take about a month or two off from social media as a whole and really get to know the person that you're with.
I think that's a good idea. And we were talking earlier, I don't know if you were listening in at that time, about, you know, just not having that time that you're spending with each other. When we were dating, you know, before we got married, we used to talk all the time, and now we don't. All of that kind of comes into play with getting to know that person before the marriage commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, reality sets in. Now it's time,
yeah.
The fairy tale is over. You know,
mm-hmm.
during that courtship, you probably saw the best of each other.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't.
And then reality
to,
sets in.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you have to deal with seeing this person every day, and you just, you know, it might be unsettling. So all those.
It's like the joke that we always have from the Cinderella movie with Brandy. The evil stepsisters in that movie always say we hide our flaws until after the wedding. And subconsciously we do that.
Yeah. We do. We do, both male and female, we do that.
Mm-hmm. So I can understand,
yeah.
Like you guys are talking about arguing, I can understand, you know, the first few months of two married people living together, or even the first year, you know, as that happy phase, a few arguments might pop up where you're getting to know each other. Oh, you cleaned up a lot more when we were dating, or, you know, you held your tongue a whole lot more when we were dating, or
yeah.
You were a lot more affectionate when we were dating. So you're really getting to know somebody in that first year of marriage, and that's why it's so fragile, and that's another reason why you keep that year sacred and to yourself.
Right.
That is your year to make or break yourself. Yes.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you're saying right now. Yeah.
And, I mean,
you
if you go into your marriage deciding that this is really who you want to be with for the rest of your life, and both of y'all go into that marriage, that understanding that you love this person more than you will ever love anybody else on the face of this earth, then there's nothing you guys won't be able to get over. But small arguments, they're going to pass by quick, and it's going to turn from having these big blowout arguments to having these little discussions of, hey, I didn't like when you did that, or hey, I hurt you hurt my feelings when you did that. And it would be an apology and a move on. Sometimes you're going to have to get over hurdles and humps of just getting to know somebody else. It's a whole other person, a whole other life, a whole other being, and you have to respect that as much as they have to respect yours. I think that's where a lot of people are losing their heads nowadays.
Yeah, and it comes back to what Mr. Bridges was saying earlier. It comes back to love.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do just because you love this person, what you're willing, the steps you're willing to take to work on this, to make it better.
True.
To have that peace. It comes back to
mm-hmm.
love. It comes down to love. Well, Miss Ashley, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. We'll talk to you later. Until next time, my dear. We're almost at the end of the show. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, the show. We're almost there. You know, I wanted to say one thing in particular. I really wanted to make sure I said this before we ended. I enjoyed the conversation. I want to thank everybody who listened in for listening in. And, again, I want to thank you for co-hosting with me tonight. Appreciate you.
It's my pleasure.
I want to let everybody know that the National Day of Prayer is Thursday, May 7th. This is something you may not be aware of, but every year there's a National Day of Prayer. It's broadcast live from Washington, D.C. And, you know, the mission is to mobilize prayer in America and to encourage personal repentance and righteousness in our culture. So you can find out more information about that on the nationaldayofprayer.org website.
can find out more about that. I wanted to make sure I got that in because there are so many things going on in our country today, big changes that may be happening, and we just need to be tuned in, and we need to be able to call on the God who created us and say, we're not leaving you out. We need you to come in and be on this and help us in this country. So before we leave, once again, I just want to repeat that the National Day of Prayer is Thursday. That is May 7th. It's going to be broadcast live from Washington, D.C., and you can find out more information about that on nationaldayofprayer.org. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. This has been Ministry Along the Way, and I have so enjoyed my husband. Good night, everybody. Until next time.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try to separate them. It's an illusion. Try, and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other.